welcome to the Raptors Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network, brought to you by Campbell's new Chunky Spicy Soup. It's time to get fired up. Make sure you find the Raptors Show wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, subscribe to the program. I'm your host, Wayne Blue. I'm joined by co-host Blake Murphy. Today, we have an idea that we wanted to execute while the Raptors were on their 50-game losing streak. It feels a little bit weirder now that they've won two in a row, but let's be real, the Raptors have been very disappointing this season. And this was alongside of obviously watching the women's final where South Carolina. Wow. but we're watching the women's final on the weekend. And what we saw was the whole media room got embroiled in this big discussion about the most unfortunate moments in this Raptors season. So we are going to do our worst moments of the 2023-2024 Raptor season draft, and joining us is an expert hater, I would say, Eric Kareen of The Athletic. Please say your credentials when it comes to hating.
You know, I was super into the Smashing Pumpkins in grade five. When the double CD, double album, Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness came out. So I don't know if it's hating so much as just being dark and down and moody. But, you know, for a long time, my pinned tweet, and I believe this was posted right before game four of the 2018 Eastern Conference semifinal against Cleveland. Oh. It was a sad season is when I shine. So, you know, I don't know if it's hating, okay, but I take note and take some sort of, I think this is really, you know, the dark, the miserable, the kind of hilariously bad, unfortunate, that's really, you know, my wheelhouse, I would say.
Yeah, you're in the pocket when things are obviously, look, you did a great job covering the championship and when things were good. But
who
remembers that? You're in the pocket when everyone is upset and needs to be guided through that infinite badness, as it were. You need the nice thing about you being a Smashing Pumpkins kid, because like I would assume you would have grown up even more poorly adjusted than you are, is at least you didn't adopt like the Billy Corgan giant scarves that became like the signature point of his personality as an adult. So kudos to you for avoiding that part. So heading into this draft where we're going to try to figure out what were the lowest lights, you just finished your year-end awards. How, like, you do that year-end award every year. You solicit contributions from your readership and stuff like that. You've been doing that for like over a decade. Was this the worst it's felt since like pre-Masai to put together the year end?
I mean, the Tampa Tank year was close. I would say the Tampa Tank year was less memorable. Like there was the one overarching big story, which was, hey, the Raptors aren't playing a home game this year. There was the Pascal Siakam issues that he had with Nick Nurse that got him suspended for the one game. And maybe we'll get into that tangentially in this draft by way of another moment. And there was the trade deadline where Kyle Lowry was not traded. And we were sort of left to wonder what was going to happen. And the season ended, of course, with six players, including three centers, Kem Birch, Aaron Baines, and Freddie Gillespie making up that six-man rotation. So that was right up there. But this year, I think just in terms of, you know, moments that ran from sad to like unwatchable play to like sort of comedically awful to like a sense of like, you know, with the way the Raptors closed out an era, basically, you know, a sense of finality and new beginning. Like there were all sorts of moments and storylines that you can lump generally into bad, I think.
Yeah. I was going to have, you know, I had this idea of like stating maybe outright, like why the season's bad, like stating the record or this and that or whatever. But I think you guys just nailed it. Like this year was actually much worse in Tampa, which
I will maintain that I think Tampa in my head is going to remain worse because I went down there. I spent time in Tampa and I got a sense of how soulless it was. I watched games in like empty-ish arenas where like everyone was cheering for, like people were wearing Zion Williamson jerseys and like cheering for the Pelicans in like a Raptors Heat game. It was just, it was a odd, and like everyone looked so sad every time I saw them. It was, and I was only there for a couple weeks.
Well, okay, you know what? That's fair, but I think for the viewing public, people were just like, "All right, Raptors suck," and then they just disconnected.
It's not just about me.
No, actually, unfortunately, it isn't. But in this case, like, yeah, I mean, this season obviously was pretty tough. So as we always do when we do these drafts, we are going to let the guests have the first overall pick. I guess typically I would have the second overall pick.
You can have the second pick. I don't
and
care.
And then, yeah, I mean, Alex, we did a lot of drafts with Alex. Yeah. He would always pick third.
Yeah, there's a lot of really there's a lot of material here.
Yes. So this is the worst moments of the 2023-2024 draft with the first overall pick, Eric Kareen of The Athletic. What is your pick?
Before we get this out of the way, just any ground rules we need? Like, does it need to be one single moment?
No, you can kind of
ongoing storyline.
Yeah, you can kind of do with what you need to. Obviously, there are certain things that which we talked about beforehand that we're just not going to touch because it's not in the spirit of this segment. But yeah, you can, like, if it's an overarching theme, or like I have a couple like that on my thing. You can't just be like the season and take the whole season. But if you need to take something a little wider in scope, by all means.
Yeah, don't worry. We have two other people here who can veto you if it's like too general. Yeah.
Okay, so my moment of the year in my column at The Athletic was December 30th, 2023. I'm not sure I can do that because it takes two very different stories and mashes them together.
I would say I will pick one, yeah.
I will take the Detroit Pistons loss first overall. And the reason I do that is not because it was unexpected. I almost do it because it was expected, because we had this game circled on the Raptors calendar, you know, probably middle of that month when things started to go, like they got off to the okay start. They were 8-8 or close to it. And then things started to go wrong. The offense wasn't producing as much. The defensive capability of this team was just not showing in the way you would expect it to. And things were getting bad. And then another thing happened that day to make their chances of them winning even worse. Meanwhile, the Pistons are on a 28-game winning streak, a losing streak, not a winning streak. And I was talking to my colleague at The Athletic, James Edwards, who does a great job covering the Pistons. And a few days out, I'm like, you get ready to write your streak-ending story on December 30th. He's like, you know, all the beat writers say that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure they do, but I'm right. and I was. I don't like to brag when I'm right. And it just, to wrap a bow on this conversation, it sort of put a symbolic finality on the era the Raptors were leaving, and is like, well, here are the dark times ahead that come with what's next. So I think both for the defeat itself, which maybe isn't as bad as losing to that team suggests, and we've all agreed that the Pistons weren't talent-wise as bad as the record, but also what it means for the Raptors, a championship organization 5 years ago, that is the single worst moment for me, and I'll take it first overall.
Yeah, I you know, I'm happy you took us through the entire day, because I think when we look back on it, it's like, okay, the Pistons were on what at that time was the tied longest losing streak in NBA history,
and
28
really,
games.
In my mind, the longest. Like one that, because the record that they tied spanned multiple seasons.
Right. Okay. So
it's
the
like,
longest.
Like if the Raptors hadn't won these two games and they ended the season on a 21 game losing streak, would you consider the opening night loss next year a 22 game losing streak? I wouldn't.
Right.
So to me, they had the record.
Okay. So yeah, the NBA record for longest losing streak. But it wasn't even just about losing that game to the Pistons. It was also everything that went on that day. There was obviously the OG trade that you're mentioning, which probably will be drafted at some point in shortly. There was also the Dennis did say post game. He's like, yeah, the team culture here is not very good. to paraphrase, let's be honest, right? That's what he said. So like, yeah, I mean, there was a lot that went into that specific day.
This is a team culture that would make me go off the bench. Anyway, tough. It's your pick.
That's,
Will.
That's a great pick.
I mean, you could take, there are a handful of Dennis things you could take as well. I don't think they're going as high as number two, but have your pick here.
My first overall pick actually was going to be losing Alex from the Raptor show, but what I was actually going to take is Jontae Porter, the betting scandal. I mean, like, look, we are still in the midst of finding out more details about this, right? The league is investigating, you know, I'm sure additional commissions are going to be looking into this specific thing. But the very fact is that, like, and I think this is actually where we decided to come up with the idea to do this draft for the year. It's like, what else could hit the Raptors this year? Like, let's be honest, what else, right? We are talking about Jontae, who prior to this was like, well, you know, the Raptors had injuries and they signed Jontae and it was going well. He came on the Raptor show, did a great interview with you, Blake. That turned into a great feature that you wrote on him as well. And, you know, generally speaking, it was like, okay, he was solid. Like, you know, we're probably going to bring him back next year. And then all of a sudden, you see this ridiculous betting scandal. And again, I still can't wrap my mind around if this were, like, absolutely true based on what was alleged. And the pattern was that he was checking himself out of games early so that he can hit the unders. And not maybe just not even him, but other people as well, because it seemed like it was the biggest bets of the night or whatever. It is just one of the worst concocted, like, you know, scandals or controversies. Like, it's so easy to figure this thing out. It's like, wow, all these people are betting on Jontae Porter unders, and that's not suspicious at all. In any case, the fact that, yeah, I mean, your third string backup center that you signed midseason ends up not even being available and also causing a big point of controversy is just incredible. So I got to take Jontae with the first overall pick.
Yeah, that's that is a very, very good pick, I think. That was number one on my board as well.
Let's go.
All right. So mine is a more broad kind of philosophical thing. With my first round pick, I am taking just this idea of tanking when you don't control your pick.
That has informed
the entire second half of the season. Even now, the Raptors coming off a 15-game losing streak, the second longest in franchise history. They still have only managed to get to sixth last in the standings, and that's in large part because it's an historic year in terms of how many teams are only going to win 25 games or fewer. The Raptors are at 25 right now, and they're in sixth to last. Like, that never happens. Usually 25 is enough to get you closer into the lottery. The other part of this is, in addition to not controlling your pick, because again, the Raptors owe their pick to San Antonio, top six protected. So even getting as far down as sixth to last, you only have a 45.8% chance of keeping the pick. Through all of this, they go on a 15-game losing streak. They did not move in the standings. They broke a tie with Memphis.
Wow. Yeah.
That's it.
Wow.
So they got a shred of a percentage of X. Instead of splitting the sixth and seventh odds with Memphis, they have the sixth alone. They got a tiny bit extra chance of keeping the pick. Some people don't even want to keep the pick. They'd rather get it out of the way now. So for me, the number one overall thing, my number one pick is just this whole idea of playing out a string, not caring about wins, but also not controlling your pick. And some people not even wanting to keep the pick. It's just been such a mess in terms of motivation and you can't even root for either outcome, really. It's been very difficult to figure out what matters in that.
Yeah, it's like typically around this time, especially if you're a 25-win team, you'd be like, all right, let me look up the draft boards, watch some videos, you know, who is Maras Bizuelas or whatever, you know, like just watch some videos and just imagine, you know, and like halfway through the video, you're like, yeah, but we have a 50% chance at this guy, maybe, you know, so it has definitely caused a lot of strife and concern over this season. Great pick. At least you have your pick, Eric Green, your second pick in the worst moments of the 2023-24 Raptor season draft.
I will say that Jontae was that was third on my big board. I didn't have what you took, Blake, just because it wasn't a singular moment. But my advice to friends when they were asking what to think about the stretch and losing versus winning is just like, don't think about it. There's too much we don't know in terms of whether this draft is good, like if the seventh pick equals the 13th pick next year, et cetera, et cetera. And yet down the stretch, that's like the main thing I've been monitoring. So great pick overall. With my second pick, I think we can agree it was a largely positive season for Scottie Barnes. Really pleased with his development, showed great signs. And I'm picking between two negative Scottie moments. But I'm always going to care more about on court than off court, even though I do think that off court stuff matters a lot. I'm taking the end of the game in Oklahoma City.
Double
for
overtime.
Scotty Barnes.
Yeah.
When he basically disappeared from that game offensively. Now, fatigue might have been a part. Long game. He was having a fine game up until then. And I don't remember now if it was the end of regulation or the end of single overtime. But he passes to Gary Trent Jr., who has to go one-on-one with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, which, I don't think is an advantageous matchup. And when he got the ball, he was just looking to swing it, basically. He wasn't getting involved in heavy sweat and, like, two-man actions, even as a screener. When I talked to him after the game, he was like, well, quickly was cooking, and we were trying to attack matchups. And it's like, yeah, the Thunder have some good defenders, but you have a size advantage on all of them, and you can, at least get the defense to move a little bit. I just thought his deference in those moments, especially compared to like his reputation, well earned as like a very good fourth quarter player, that's concerning to me, because that's the guy that is at the center of this thing, and whether he ends up being a one or a two, you need him to embrace those moments. And his performance and his response to that, which didn't seem like that well reasoned, that was very concerning for me. So I'll take that with my second pick.
Yeah, that's a really good one. And for people who don't remember that game, Scotty was playing excellent for the first three quarters. He checks back in for the fourth quarter, and basically from the midway through the fourth quarter, again through both overtime periods as well, I think he took like two shots, and one of the plays was drawn up for him to take the potential game winner in overtime, as you mentioned, and he did pass it off to Gary. That was a pump fake. I really thought you were going to take the Spurs game, but me is not a Scotty Barnes.
Is the Spurs one that he left the game? He went to the locker room early. Is that the Spurs game?
Yeah, it's not just the leaving the game. To me, that was very minor as compared to what happened in the middle of the game. Yeah. But again, me is not a Scotty hater. I'm just going to avoid this altogether and remain the favorites in the Raptors, Twitter space, hopefully.
I've got a pick on here that is actually pro Scotty. So,
okay, all right.
Somehow I'm going to spin it into Scotty propaganda. So you just wait.
There you go. Okay, so with my second pick, I'm going to take Pascal being traded for nobody of immediate value. The trade essentially broke the night before, if you guys remember. Shams had tweeted out, basically the framework of the deal. We didn't know how many picks, what the specific picks were, but it was that Jordan Moore was going to come back and Bruce Brown was going to come back to Toronto. I think, we came in the next day, we talked about it, and then, of course, live on the show, it broke, and we got a lot of good reaction to it. But we talked about it at the time. We were like, honestly, can we not get a little bit more? Can we not get, like, I don't know, one of the many players in Indiana that were, like, useful in terms of, like, basketball, like, Andrew Nembhard. I think we talked about Jairus Walker. We talked about Benedict Mathurin. We talked about even Jalen Smith. Honestly, even Jalen Smith. But ultimately, that is what the deal was. Now, the Raptors got the three picks, which is good. That's why I said immediate value, because it not only brought us Jordan Wara and Bruce Brown, it also brought us talking to Mark Stein every single day on the show about, hey, how much can we get for Bruce Brown? And then we didn't even trade him?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm taking Pascal getting traded with nothing of immediate value.
Yeah, that's a good pick, and a good note in Eric's year-end award piece about how, it's hard to capture as a moment. It's the absence of a moment, but not being able to find enough return for Bruce Brown I assume we're not going to make enough picks in this draft, but that would also be somewhere on here of everyone thought there was another component to this, and then it's gone worse than expected.
For sure.
Certainly. All right. Good pick. I'm going to pick. So this is, again, it's not, I'm breaking the kind of, this is a moment thing. It's a bigger thing, but through all of this, the Raptors have gotten very little developmentally out of this. Hey, you're going to give opportunity to a lot of different guys. You're going to see if you can find someone like those guys. Those guys haven't popped. You haven't really found someone. If you did, it was Jonte, who, as you picked,
oh, he got popped,
is out of there. Meanwhile, Delano Banton killing it, Jeff Doughton converted to an NBA deal. O'Shea, not, less so lately, but for a good chunk of the season, playing rotation minutes for the Celtics. Even Svi playing rotation minutes for the Celtics at times. Obviously, all the guys, the Raptors, like Precious breaks out.
Yeah. So in how dare you not say Malachi had a 50-piece and then had a zero-piece.
In the spirit of this, of the Raptors have really struggled to get anything out of the margins through all of this when there are all these opportunities going around. Through all these guys who have left Toronto really succeeding more than they did here, I am selecting the Malachi 50-piece like spiritual avatar for the trouble developing and getting the most out of that on the roster this year. So it's not really, like, I don't want to be mean to Malachi, even though he did score 3 points over the next two games after dropping 50. is, like, by far statistically the most unlikely 50-piece in NBA history. But that as kind of, like, what that symbolized to me is, like, everyone who leaves keeps doing really well, and nobody who is here has run with the opportunity. Got you. The Malachi 50-piece was very representative, I think.
All right. That I did not have that on my board at all. So
the Malachi 50 piece?
No. I was just happy for Malachi, but I totally understand what you're talking about.
No, it means more than Malachi.
Yes. The analogy of the 50 piece. Okay, Eric, your third pick, and we got to go a little quicker because we still have three more rounds. No, not you, all of us. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Both of those were on my board. Good picks. I'm deviating from my board here to diversify my portfolio a little bit. I'll take us back to Media Day.
Oh, man.
When Masai Ujiri answered a question about Pascal Siakam by talking about the team's selfishness last year. I didn't think it was an incredibly meaningful moment at the time, and I sort of insisted people were making too big of a deal of it as sort of, Twitter is on Media Day and you get all these quotes. And I remember seeing from somebody, oh, the vibes are really bad in Toronto. And I'm like, well, if you take the full context of Masai's quote and what he was talking about, like, it wasn't just Pascal Siakam he was talking about. He was talking about the way the team played last year. But in hindsight, after the summer that happened with the trade talks, after the, you know, what happened with possible extension talks and where that did and did not go, you just cannot answer a question specifically about Pascal Siakam and think about, I'm not shying away from talking about it, this team played selfishly last year and that's not going to happen again. It just, you know, it sends, for a guy who's so good at speaking, that's, you know, one of the things Raptors fans rightfully so love about him is he can really, you know, work a crowd and get the message delivered correctly and enthusiastically. I think it set a bad tone for this season. I don't blame him for this season, but just as going into this season, you didn't need that on day one. And the more and more I thought about it, I was like, that's sort of an unforced error from Masai Ujiri in front of a microphone, which you just generally don't see. So that's my pick.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one, because when you said Media Day, I got panicked, because similar to Media Day, and this is something that was asked a lot at Media Day, and this is like so long ago now, but with my third pick, I'm going to take Shams Charania accidentally tweeting out a framework that would include Damian Lillard going to the Raptors. The tweet from Shams, which obviously became deleted, and it was not fully obviously fleshed out. It's like a shell. It was a draft. But Shams had accidentally tweeted out this draft. Sources: Portland, Toronto, and Phoenix have agreed to a 4-team trade. First off, that's only 3 teams. Okay. Raptors get Damian Lillard, Suns, Yusuf Nurkic, Blazers, DeAndre Ayton. Now, here's the thing. Yusuf Nurkic did go to the Suns, and the Blazers did get DeAndre Ayton. The Raptors did not get Damian Lillard, and there are no other details. And honestly, it's a failure of, you know, us on this show. We had Shams twice, and we never asked him about this, I don't think. But, like, what were the other two pieces? I'm just so curious.
Yeah.
But in any case, the send pretty much all of NBA Twitter into a tizzy for a while. Obviously, Dame ended up getting traded to Milwaukee. That wasn't, like, honestly, it would have been weird if the Raptors got Dame. I don't think it would have, like, saved the Raptors season. But I am endlessly curious as to what Shams meant with that, so.
Yeah. My guess is that those guys have multiple tweet drafts ready to go.
Yeah.
When they know stuff's cooking and you just click the wrong one.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
It's a tough one.
I am not commenting on this, for the record.
Oh, yeah, sorry. That's your teammate.
Shams is my boy. So, like, that's
how we got Shams on the show twice.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, I'm not going to put him on the spot about that. Mistakes happen. Look, Woj had a trade deadline 1-2 in the Dennis trade. Woj had Dennis Smith Jr. coming here, and James Herbert, friend of the show,
wrote
a fun piece asking Dennis Smith Jr. about, like, what's it like to be in an accidental, like, an errant Woj bomb.
Right, right. There's accidental Bronsons, and then there's accidental Shams. Wow. Doesn't hit the same. Okay. Blake Murphy, your third pick.
Okay. So this is a pretty straightforward one, but it rendered the entire last quarter of the season mostly meaningless for performance and also what we're learning about guys in the future of the team. And it's Scotty breaking his hand or his finger. First of all, it happened on just the silliest play where he's going up and his down hand is the one that gets kicked by Emmanuel Quickly as Quickly's also in the air. A very bizarre injury in the first place. But it was the precursor to the 15-game losing streak. This kind of soulless end of the season, and it rendered, hey, even when Quickly and RJ are in there, even when guys are playing well, et cetera, you know, we're not getting the most important developmental reps. We're not getting the most important chemistry building reps. And certainly the most entertaining player on the team has been gone for a quarter of the season here.
Yeah. It's really good. That one's really good. It didn't help that Jakob Poeltl got injured like the day after. And yeah. And then the Raptors have basically played all guards in Kelly Olynyk ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But in any case, Eric, we're in the fourth round now.
Yeah. My scouts are yelling at me because I'm ignoring the top talent on my board once again. But I'm going to go with the OG Anunoby trade.
Okay.
Not because it was a bad trade. It was a good trade. I think they did the right thing. And we'll see OG Anunoby's contract at the end of the season. Or in free agency, I should say. And I think it's going to be very expensive. The return was fine. And to add to that, for a long time, you know, people like me were saying, you gotta go one way or the other. Mm-hmm. This was my preferred sort of path. Saying that, it signaled the end. There were other things that signaled the end. Fred Van Vliet leaving and free agency signaled the end. You know, Kyle Lowry leaving a few summers ago signaled the end. But with the Anunoby trade, it was sort of the move that Musai Ujiri didn't make at the trade deadline last year. He now made, and you could sort of picture what was coming. And indirectly, you could picture the losses that were coming. Especially if they didn't agree to an extension with Siakam, which became very clear that that was not going to happen. So OG Anunoby trade signaling the definitive end of the championship era of the Raptors.
That's a good one. Now you have like the full part of the fateful day, December 30th. You know, you got both parts.
That's part of why I took this. It's like, it played into each other. I know they're two separate things. And the value proposition, again, fine trade. And it's, you know, especially with how RJ Barrett has played, like that's looking like a very nice trade. But it was sad and marked the end of something, definitely.
That's a pretty good trade. First off, it has turned out to be a good trade for both teams. Obviously, OG's just got to be healthy, but we know he's a quality player. But it's been a good trade for Toronto. But I totally understand what you mean in terms of the significance of what that trade represented. With my fourth pick, I'm going to take, it's controversial, I'm going to take the pizza party.
The fact that it took 58 games?
The fact that they had a pizza party for 3-game winning streak, man. What are we doing? Like, okay, it was fun. We all had fun with it, right? It was like a brief moment of like, you know, okay, we can actually like get off this negativity of the season, which obviously we're recapping here. But the fact that when you step back, and I'm sure if you're like a neutral fan of the NBA and you look back, you're like, what are they doing over there? Like a whole pizza party. It took till February 29th, okay, for them to actually finally get the 3 games in a row.
58 games.
58 games. The Charlotte Hornets, who are below the Raptors in the standings, but the Charlotte Hornets even had a 3-game winning streak before this. So I think the pizza party, I know Darko was like, well, you know, it was supposed to be a dinner. It was kind of accidentally told to us by Pascal. Pascal was like, would you say he was a little surly sometimes, a little spiky sometimes in the press conferences? But he did say, he's like, oh, Darko said he'll give us, like, he'll pay for dinner if we win 3 games. That was back in, like, October when he said that.
Also, like,
we tracked it for so long.
There's an element here of, like, Darko said dinner and Pascal passed that on. I'm pretty sure, like, Alex is the reason it became pizza party because we would no one as I went back and listened, no one specified pizza party, and then we just kept talking about it as pizza party. So yeah, I'm pretty sure Alex was the one who narrowed it in. That like you're welcome from Alex via the Raptor Show, Eric, for the pizza that media got as part of that pizza party.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, the pizza party is a good one.
I don't know what you're talking about. We never got anything.
That's right. There was also, let's just say the team didn't want it to be publicized to the degree that it became a national story. But, Blake, your fourth pick.
Yeah, so this is a recent one, and maybe there is a little bit of recency bias here. But just a couple days ago, the Raptors suffered the worst loss in the history of the franchise. That's right. The Timberwolves beat them by 48, and it was also a week after the Knicks also almost beat them by a franchise record. The Knicks beat them by 44, which was the worst home loss in franchise history. And then, yeah, a couple games later, here's a 48-piece from the Timberwolves. I can't believe it lasted till the 12th pick in this draft. Worst loss in franchise history, still on the board. By the way, the second longest losing streak in franchise history, also still on the board. That's how bad this season has gotten competitively.
I think we can give you signing Malik Williams and starting him that very day with that pick.
I think that, for me, that falls into the Malachi Flynn pick of, like, all development. Right, you got it. Like, you haven't even given me the G League stuff this year.
You get it no matter what.
All right.
You, Malik Williams and him starting is yours in one of those picks.
Thank you.
I'll wrap it up. I'm taking the Spurs visit to Toronto and everything that came with it. That's probably two picks, but I don't care.
No, that's fine.
Of the draft.
Yeah.
They got blocked 10 times by Wemby. and somebody said, well, it's not the last time that that will happen. Yeah, but it was the first time that happened. they have that. Scotty Barnes obviously gets caught leaving the bench early, slightly before the game ends, which, you know, is a no-no. I don't think it's a big deal, but it happened. It became a story. And to say he responded poorly to it, sort of, you know, running counter to what Darko Rajakovic the next day had said in terms of they had a talk about it. Darko said, or Scotty said, there was no talk about it. And when Michael Grange asked if he, or just mentioned that he was a leader of the team, Scotty sort of went, everybody's a leader, which I guess is fine, but, you know, hints at maybe a guy not yet willing or ready to take that role. Which is, like, again, he's 22, that's fine, but it's not what you want to hear in the midst of, especially after Anunoby and Siakam are gone, this is your big core piece, and he's not exactly embracing it precisely in the way you'd want. So I have Scotty's two most negative moments of the year on the board, but I felt you guys were giving me way too much value in terms of how meaningful those moments were.
Yeah, so he's by far the most important player, so it makes sense that he'd orbit in this draft.
Yeah, we talked about it for, I think, 2 days straight on the show. I'm a little surprised that dropped to the fifth round. But to wrap up my five, a lot of difficult ones here because I don't want to leave these
There's
on the board.
There's a lot on the board still, yeah, which is hilarious.
What's left on my board, the Raptors, the Malachi quote from Darko of, like, I told him, you have to smile. You're ugly when you don't smile, which is quite good to me. Patrick Beverley saying that the Raptors got no dogs, and the Raptors then proceeding to prove him right by losing three straight to the Sixers. I got Jakob getting injured both times. The Raptors are 4-24 without Jakob Poeltl this season. In terms of just the number one reason why the Raptors' season really went south is Jakob getting injured in two crucial moments. But I gotta take the Raptors getting sued. Like, that was even before the season even started. Like, they just got sued. Again, like, whatever. I think personally that it's a pretty petty thing by the Knicks. When you read the lawsuit, it's like, you know, they stole some, like, synergy data. Like, they basically illegally shared synergy data or whatever the suit alleges. But my point is, it's like, it's an assistant, like, it's a video coordinator.
It's nothing.
Like, come on, man. Like, the fact that, like, the franchise got sued over this. We still don't have a resolution on this, by the way. I'm sure that both New York and Toronto are pouring way too much money into something that is so silly. But the fact that the Raptors got sued to start the year really just did kick off, like, what was not a good one. So,
and still made a trade, and I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Nonsense. It's, yeah.
I know we have to be quick. In my preseason predictions column, in which I get bolder, I tried to get bolder and bolder as the predictions went on. My first pick, so the thing I was most sure of, was that this suit would be settled out of court during the season, and it still has not happened.
Exactly,
which I think speaks to James Dolan more than anybody or anything. But I find hilarious that the NBA hasn't been able to muscle this one out of its, you know, even its rear view, it's in the future. Like, I can't believe Adam Silver hasn't been able to make this go away. Small thing, but pretty surprising.
I would say. There you go. Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. All right, with the last pick in the draft, an honorable mention here that when the actual games mattered, the 23-2 free throw disparity in the fourth quarter against the Lakers should matter here, but it's not counting for, I'm not picking it for two reasons. One is that in retrospect, like competitively, it wasn't all that important, but it also gave us the best moment of the season, which was Darko's rant.
Yes.
So I feel like that undercuts the value of its pick as a pick in this draft a little bit. So with my last pick, this is kind of medical division because there's some stuff we haven't picked that just kind of sucks, but it sucks on the side. Like Christian Coloco, who spoke to an Arizona newspaper recently, and there's still no like clarity on his timeline.
Right.
Otto Porter retired.
Oh yeah,
At like 31 years old because his body just can't do it. Chris Boucher's injury and just his general treatment this year was on my board. But for the final pick in the draft, and this is a very me pick, but if you're going to have a bad season and you're going to give me any sort of silver lining, it was 5'6" two-way player Marquese Noel having an awesome season with the G League, making the G League All-Star team, one of the most well-liked players in the entire NBA and G League on social media, and then he gets hurt and can't play in the All-Star game and eventually gets cut. So even the fun G League thing, even the cool, nice underdog story got its legs cut out from underneath it. Marquese Noel did at least return for the final game for Raptors 905, so they'll still hold his rights next year, etc. But the season being so bad, you couldn't even let us have the 5'6" underdog G League All-Star. You even had to take that.
Yeah.
Feels really, really personal from whoever is controlling these things.
We really deserve the number one overall pick after recapping this whole season because, I mean, just to wrap up and to recap, Eric Kareen's, I suppose, team, this is their starting five of worst moments, snapping Detroit's 28-game losing streak, Scotty disappearing in OKC, Masai insinuating that Pascal was selfish, the OG trade, and the Wemby 10-block game, Scotty leaving early, Scotty having a bad game in that one, and then the messaging afterwards between Scotty and the coaching staff just wasn't particularly strong in the media. For me, I have Jontay Porter's betting scandal. I have Pascal getting traded for nothing of immediate value. Shams, the Dame tweet draft that was accidentally sent out. The pizza party taking all the way until literally a leap year day to do February 29th. And then the Raptors getting sued. And then Blake has tanking without control of their first-round pick. Malachi's 50-piece as an analogy for all the Raptors who continue to do great outside the organization. Scotty's very, very random and very unfortunate hand injury. The 48-point loss, which is a franchise record. And Marquese Noel getting hurt and missing the All-Star, the G League All-Star, and also getting cut shortly thereafter, although he is back, at least with the 905, to end the season, last week? Was it last week that he came in? Yeah. I'm actually quite surprised that none of us took Jalen McDaniels, just full stop. Like, I was very much considering that. And
He's number one in the mock draft for 2025, though.
If we had a second round, if Mark Tatum came in here.
That money is guaranteed.
Yeah, well, you know, it can't get worse than this year, can it? But, and then I also, you know, I'm just going to say it. The MLK Crosshairs tweet was also pretty bad as well. But in any case, Eric, I appreciate you so much for joining us. This was a good exercise in darkness. And this season will be remembered for that kind of darkness. But Eric, do you have any last things you want to close out on?
Shout out to Brandon Ingram scoring 15 points in five possessions in a row.
Yeah.
So, Yeah.
Another 40-point loss, that one. Yeah.
I mean, we all, you know, care about this team and, you know, don't want this team to be have seasons like this. At least it was eventful, I will say.
It was eventful.
From my perspective, if you're a subscriber at The Athletic, I have a big feature coming out tomorrow, so check that out. That's really it, guys. I appreciate you you having me, and at least we can look back in laughter, if not and not anger, for most of these. And hopefully we can legitimately do a best 15 things, or at least best 9 things draft next year.
Yeah. Well, we could have done a 15 best moments of this year, but we would have to get to 15. So we're going to take this break.
Thanks,
Say goodbye to Eric. And I've been your host, Willow. You've been listening to The Raptors Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network, brought to you by Campbell's new Chunky Spicy Soup.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Raptors Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm your host, Wim Lou. You're going to be joined by co-host Blake Murphy. We're going to talk about the game that's going to take place tonight. The Raptors close out the regular season, and I guess the entire season, because there's no postseason. But home finale tonight against the Indiana Pacers. Pascal Siakam back in town, 7 p.m. early tip. They've been tipping earlier, I feel like, maybe towards the end of the season. But, of course, the schedule has been made all season. In any case, I'm very much looking forward to seeing Pascal and, you know, just how the Pacers do going forward. But, you know, speaking of Pascal, time now for today's spicy take, brought to you by new Chunky Spicy Soup. Are you ready to get fired up? So this is the take for the week. You know, despite everything we said in the first 40 minutes here, the Raptors are actually set up well for the future, despite how tough this season was. The biggest storyline coming into the year was the resolutions of Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby. What was their future going to be? OG got back two young starters in Emmanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett that the Raptors will have for a long time. And I think everyone's very, very happy with that trade. Pascal, maybe nobody immediately of value, but it did get you 3 picks and it gave you a lot of options there. You can quibble, and I'm sure we have quibbled a lot over the timing of the deals. Maybe they could have got this, they could have got that. But ultimately, in the broader strokes, they got what you needed to do to get from the previous era towards contributing towards the next era. The second biggest line item for the season was Scottie Barnes overcoming this sophomore slump and taking the next step. And in the words of Darko Rajakovic, Scottie Barnes is going to be an all-star. And he was. Scottie finished the season with averages of 20 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 1.3 steals, 1.5 blocks, and basically improved in every category across the board. I think people feel a lot better about the whole situation now. Coming out of last year, maybe a little bit more uncertain, but this year it's pretty certain it's Scottie's team, and he's got that kind of talent to have a team. You know, we saw that with the All-Star game. And then, since they pivoted to the rebuild, obviously with OG and Pascal getting traded, the last line item on the season was just to salvage whatever they can. You know, Grady, you know, started the season. There was a lot of concerns. I mean, for the 2023 portion of the season, he averaged 3.5 points on 29% shooting. And he even struggled when he went down to the D-League. Of course, since the calendar flipped to 2024, he's been a lot better. He's finishing the year on a high note. Hopefully, we see him be able to play tonight. We'll get that update shortly in terms of whether or not he's going to be available to play with the groin injury. But ultimately, he turned it around. We've been able to see what the Raptors ultimately got in him. We've seen some turnarounds from other guys like Gary over the course of the season. And I think that, You know, the obviously bigger picture is the Raptors at least did their best to improve their pick, which is still obviously a 50-50 proposition, as we had mentioned. But at least if the Raptors hit on the 50%, that's good, while the payout is higher than it was before, at least. So, you know, they did that portion-ish. And, of course, they did shuffle through 30 players. They got to see at least a lot of guys. Unfortunately, not a lot of them hit, but ultimately that is the right process to try to take a look at these certain guys. So look, it was an unfortunate year. There's no doubt. That's why we did this episode. But and at least taking a step back for the franchise and taking their lumps this year, the hope is that they've set themselves up well for the future. So that's the new Chunky's spicy take.
By the way, the Raptors having tried out or played 30 different players, 30 different players have hit the court, 30 to have been on the roster at some point. 33, if you include Spencer Dinwiddie. The Grizzlies just signed a pair of new 10-days. They'll be at 33 on the court after tonight.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else left in the G League that hasn't been signed? Yo, have you been in the G League and you haven't been on the Grizzlies, Raptors, or Pistons this year? I mean, you know, you might have a long shot. Or Portland, I guess.
That is a combined, I don't know about Portland, but Raptors, Pistons, Grizzlies is a combined 93 players. Although, yeah, I guess technically only 92 because Malachi counts twice. Malachi was on two of those teams.
Right. I was going to ask who was on both, but of course it was Mal. Yeah, do you agree with that, though? Like they at least set themselves up a lot better for the future. I guess maybe,
yeah, I
as
mean,
compared to what they had coming into this year.
Directionally, I'm glad that they took a direction. Mm-hmm. You know, you could, given the ages, you could quibble still with, you know, like you're waiting multiple years for those picks to turn into stuff. So, but having the assets is better. Grady being better these last 36 games. He's played 36 games in a row. He's been their Iron Man in the second half. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that certainly changes things for the positive because he looks much more ready to contribute. So, yeah, I'm with you. I probably don't feel quite as strongly as you do about it. I think that this offseason ahead, because it sets up as their last time having cap space for a while, because they have a couple free agents and you know, a restricted free agent, a big team option decision, a big unrestricted free agent, three potential picks. They don't, you know, maybe they intend to do one more year in the lottery, but they don't intend to be in the lottery for multiple years. It feels like a really, really big offseason. Yeah, certainly more paths to being good again by 2025 than they had prior, though.
Yeah, well, they did come out of it with a lot more optionality. And we'll see, obviously, what that turns into. You got to deliver. But I do think that at least they pivot towards the rebuild. And my hope is they turn it around, you know, relatively quickly. Although I wouldn't be too surprised if next year was similar to this one. But in any case, we could talk about that next year when it comes.
Yeah.
What's going to happen tonight is another game.
Time now for Between the Lines, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Take a chance. The Raptors are hosting the Indiana Pacers. It is the home finale. It is very important to the Indiana Pacers, who are a game up on Philadelphia and a game and a half up on Miami for that final playoff spot, the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference. There is actually a scenario where if the Pacers win tonight and Philly and Miami lose and Orlando wins, Indiana could be locked into that sixth seed.
Oh, okay.
So they have a clinch scenario tonight. They're going to want this a lot. Even if all those other things don't happen, their magic number is obviously very, very low at this point. That they win this one, they're feeling very, very comfortable with three to go here. The Raptors are 13-point underdogs, over-under set way up at 238. In addition to this mattering a lot for the Pacers, they're only missing Benedict Mathurin. And then on the Raptors side, Emmanuel Quickley will rest. This is the first night of a back-to-back. Tomorrow they're in Brooklyn. I know some people would like play everyone tonight because you own the Pacers pick and you'd like them to get knocked down a little bit and then rest everyone tomorrow. They don't have enough bodies to rest everyone tomorrow, so they probably had to split this a little bit where, like, tomorrow maybe you see RJ and Kelly sit or something like that. Grady Dick is also questionable. I mentioned he's played 36 games in a row. He's dealing with a groin contusion he left last game with. Sounded like it was still pretty painful yesterday at practice. The beat people didn't seem super optimistic that he's going to play tonight, but he is officially questionable. Pacers, by the way, 7-3 in their last 10, number two offense over that stretch, and Pascal by far their leading scorer of late.
Yeah, it turns out we gave them Pascal Siakam for Bruce Brown and Jordan Wara. So I think that it was going to take some time, obviously, for Tyrese to get healthy, for them to learn how to play off of each other. I do think Pascal, his game is very, like, especially the way it's grown, it's become more like individualistic, right? Not to have a Masai moment, but, you know, I do think that, like, it does take some little bit of time because the Pacers were playing so free and up tempo and all that kind of stuff, but they were always going to figure it out. They got a big talent infusion, and yeah, it's going to be difficult for the Raptors to play the Pacers this year. They haven't really played them. Well, they play them okay this year, but of course we've seen so many different teams. No, Quickley tonight really does, I think, put the nail in for me. Like, it's going to be a tough one, maybe a little bit of Bruce Brown revenge game, please. But in any case, I think I'll probably go with the Pacers on this one.
That was Between the Lines, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Take a chance. Some of the Tyrese Pascal stuff you're talking about is also compounded by they trade away Buddy Hield at the same time, which took away some of Halliburton's pet plays and things like that. So it's been a readjustment period overall.
Yeah, well, we'll see if a legendary Raptor killer, Doug McDermott, will take up buddy's spot tonight. But in any case, that does it for us today. I've been your host, Willow. You've been listening to The Raptors Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network, brought to you by Campbell's New Chunky Spicy Soups. Time to get fired up. Thanks once again to our producer, Amit Mon, our board producer, Lance Kennedy, Jennifer Olnick, David Sis, Jared Manitat for helping behind the scenes. Big thanks to our guest, Eric Kareen, for helping hate on the team that we all cover. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.